How fun we get to fan the flames for Bibles for Asia.
We don't often realize the kind of sacrifice they're having to make in order to continue being Christians. Sometimes as Christians, we look the other way and we say God will look after them.
We can fan the flames for Bibles for Asia. $5 sends a Bible, or $100 sends 20. Go to truthnetwork.com and click on the Fan the Flames Bibles for Asia.
This is the Truth Network. Matt Slick is president and founder of the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry. Matt is a Master of Divinity and is ordained. He's passionate, and Matt stands firm and lives to defend and promote the Christian faith. Monday through Friday, Matt takes calls from all around the world on his radio show. We've compiled this week's best. Matt Slick's Top 6.
Number 6.
But let's just say that it's the case that some Christians did this, which would not be a Christian thing to do, because this is not in the Bible. And I've had Muslims tell me, well, God, you know, in the Old Testament, God had people killed. So that's what your Bible teaches. And I says, yeah, in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant. We're not under the Old Covenant anymore. And I say, show me where the Christian scriptures teach doing what you guys do. And they can't, because it's not there. We don't owe any Muslims any apologies for anything like that. That's just how it goes. If people did kill others, that's on them. Okay, we don't owe them an apology. We didn't do it. I didn't do it. My ancestors came over from Germany in the mid to late 1800s. And so none of them had any slaves. But let's just say some of my ancestors did. Okay, do I owe any present day black people apologies? No. Why would I? I don't believe in that kind of thing, and past is what it is. Let's move on. But the Muslim religion is a dangerous religion, and the Quran does teach terrorism. It does teach killing people. I have articles on that on the website, okay?
Number 5.
When Christ was hanging on the cross with the two thieves, and he said to the one thief that repented, "Today you will be with me in paradise." But my understanding is that Christ had to be dead for 3 days in hell and then resurrected from the dead, and then he was seen by the multitude and then into heaven. I was curious how the thief could be in paradise with Christ that day if Christ had to be dead for 3 days.
First of all, he did not go to hell. It's a false teaching taught by many people. So it's just a flat-out false teaching. Hell is a place of damnation, of torture, of flame, and things like that. He didn't go there. Some false teachers, like Joyce Meyer, would teach that he paid the atoning sacrifice there and finished the atonement and sacrifice.
Right, that he had to defeat death and hell. That's what I had been taught.
Yeah, it's damnable heresy. It's from the devil. And it's being taught in Christian churches, and Christians don't know what the truth is in that regard.
Number 4.
So his physical body died. The hypostatic union continued in two natures that were in the one person, that his personhood continued after death. And so it talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, starting about verse 8, that he led captive a host of captives, and he ascended on high. We don't know for sure, but what probably happened is that when he died on the cross, then he went and proclaimed the truth to those in bondage. That's out of Jude 6, 7. And then went and made proclamation of the spirits. And then 1 Peter 3 talks about this, 18 and 19. There's a lot of theories about this stuff. We don't know if exactly sure.
Okay.
What I think happened is that once he died, he went to paradise, where the people who died in faith previously were abiding, and then brought them into heaven because the sacrifice had occurred. And then 3 days later was resurrected.
Number 2.
Now, there seems to be a large portion of Christians today that seem to be pushing this idea that it's never okay to be angry, it's never okay to mock or name call. I just want to get your opinion on this. Oh, the first one I'll start with is Elijah, you know, in the book of, I think it's 1 Kings 18. He was mocking the prophets of Baal. What are your thoughts on this? Like, let's say I was trying to talk with, I don't know, like a Muslim, and the Muslim dogmatically rejected everything I had to say, and he met me with negative words. Would it be biblical for me to mock his false god and mock him?
Yes and no. It has to be done properly. I tried to mock them, but I know what you're talking about. I address them truthfully. Now, Jesus in Matthew 7, 4 says, "You hypocrite, you first take the log out of your own eye." He called people blind guides in Matthew 23. "You foolish and blind men." He said, "You serpents, you brood of vipers," Matthew 23, 33. So, you know, and I got a whole article on this. Did Jesus ever say anything mean to anyone? And I've got a whole bunch of quotes from him. So, yeah. Then on the other hand, we're told to be polite as possible.
Number three.
So before the show today, I was in an atheist room and got to the point where, you know, I said, you guys work hard at denying God. You work hard at this and your own unrighteousness. You're denying the truth, you know, and you're bringing judgment on yourself. I didn't say those exact words, but this is what I will say sometimes because they're doing that. And I'll sometimes say you're a servant of the devil and I'm informing you. So what I'll do sometimes and instruct them, and with a Muslim sometimes, I will say, you bring shame upon your prophet and your God. And I'll do that. They don't like that. But there's a reason I do it, because I was taught by a guy who knows everything about Islam. He speaks Arabic and raised over there, he knows. He says, if you say this to them, it really irks them.
There's times biblical authors, like such as Paul, when addressing the Galatians, he called them foolish. Yep. Jesus called people fools, which is the Greek word morath or more or morass, depending on the usage. But, it would translate, you know, modern English, it would be moron. So we have biblical authors calling people morons.
Here's the thing. There's what's called connotation and denotation. So a connotation is a negative emotion attached to a word. A denotation is just the word. So house and home are slightly different. Home has a connotation of warmth and comfort and safety. So when we say moron to someone, there's a negative connotation. So what I try and do generally is to avoid negative connotative statements. Now, there are people I know who will cuss, or Christians, and they'll cuss at the unbelievers. And I say, do not do that. You know, Colossians 3:8 says, remove abusive speech. You can accomplish the same thing by simply describing them and describing the issue. And you can do it calmly, you can do it intelligently. And that's what I recommend to people to do.
Happy trails to you. Until we meet again.
Goodbye, goodbye. Oh, goodbye.
Now I had the time of my life.
I hope you had the time of your life.
It's okay now.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Matt Slick's Top 6. For more on Matt and his live syndicated call-in radio show, go to truthnetwork.com. Got a question? Matt Slick has your answer. This is the Truth Network.